Well, we've all seen that family member, someone we love and care about, that it seems so obvious. Their life has fallen apart. There's wreckage everywhere. And maybe this just has to be their bottom to maybe do something different in their life. And yet they won't take the steps towards change. And that's so frustrating. Or maybe you're that person and you see the wreckage and there's these fears that keep you from taking that step. And you're hesitant to move forward in taking the steps toward change. Today, we're going to talk about some of those reasons that can be deterrents that can keep us from living out who Christ has called us to be so that we don't have to stay in that stuck space anymore and ultimately take the steps towards healing and recovery. Today, we're going to talk about those reasons and maybe break them down so that we can move forward with health. Welcome to Hope and Recovery, a Fellowship Celebrate Recovery podcast that shares hope and healing for our mental, spiritual, emotional, and relational journey through life change stories and recovery topics, all centered around the Beatitudes of Matthew chapter 5 and the Celebrate Recovery principles, where Jesus gives us incredible tools, a guide to help us face the hurts under His power and the community around us so that we can combat the nasty lies that we may be believing about ourselves, God, and others and circumstances, and deal with those nasty coping mechanisms or numbing agents that we've fallen into that ultimately cause havoc in our life, so that we can walk in the newness of life the way Christ died for us to experience in our life. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I struggle with drugs and alcohol and perfectionism. My name is Rodney. I'm the pastor and Celebrate Recovery ministry leader here at Fellowship Bible Church, Rogers Celebrate Recovery. It's so good to be here with you. And thanks for giving us a five-star rating and a review and sharing this with others so that we can reach more people. That's so important so that we can get more exposure. I hope you're doing well today and having I hope that you're seeing a light. If you're early in the process or maybe you're in the middle of a season that just feels hard, I hope that you're seeing some hope on the horizon. But today's topic is really twofold. One is maybe for you personally, some things to lean into and maybe be able to kind of break down some of those things that are keeping you from taking that step, or maybe give you some clarity and some curious posture on why that person that you love so much may not be taking those steps. In my line of work, my role with ministry and in counseling, I often get phone calls from people with loved ones. It's their adult child or their spouse or a brother, sister, son, daughter kind of thing. Mom, dad sometimes that need help. And one of the most frustrating things that I experience with family members, what they experience is the family member, the person that they care for, that it seems so obvious to them that this has to be their bottom. Why are they not getting help? And they're not ready. And it just seems like it doesn't make sense. So maybe that's the situation. Or the other side is you're in a spot where you just see some wreckage around your own life and you're thinking, why is this not enough? Why am I not taking the steps necessary to do something different in my life? And so I want to talk about those things that can kind of be those things that cause us to avoid the necessary change in our life so that we don't have to live in this wreckage, the slavery, the bondage, whatever it is that we're walking through in our addictions that we're a slave to or in bondage to some compulsive behaviors or whatever that is, to lean into that so that we can understand it and maybe start breaking that down. And my prayer is that either space, if it's a loved one or it's yourself, that God would do something in your heart, maybe even over this next little bit that you're listening to my voice and we're unpacking this together, that He would do something to help you Have that courage to maybe deal with that one thing. Maybe everything else in your life is going well. You're seeing growth, but this one area is creating some issues. But what are some of those things? And if you got some additional ones, I'd love to hear from you. Maybe we'll do another podcast on this. But what are those things that keep us, that become good reasons, not right reasons necessarily, but good reasons why we might not lean into change? I think one of the biggest ones is the fear of the unknown. It's like, you're telling me to walk around a corner and walk down a dark hallway. Yeah, there's a light down there, but man, that hallway feels long and dark, and I don't know what's around the corner. Even though I can see a light at the end of that hall around the bend there, I don't know what to expect. And so this fear, right? Fear begins to consume us. And one thing I want to say about fear and anxiety, I think I've said this prior, but I think it's important to note that sometimes anxiety and fear can get confused a little bit. Anxiety is when there is a perceived threat. If it feels like something is going to hurt me and there really isn't anything there, then it's probably anxiety. Fear is when there's an actual threat, that this is going to bring harm to me. I think the thing that's so important as we're unpacking that, the fear of the unknown, is many people have gone before you and they have walked into the unknown, and it makes sense. How can I, if I'm the one that's trying to lean into the unknown toward change, how might I be curious with myself to just kind of hold myself in that space to say it makes sense, and how do I validate that? Of course, I'm scared. I mean, anytime we're going into a space we've not been in and lived in and experienced before, it feels scary. We see this with relationships. You know, maybe I've never allowed someone to see me be vulnerable. And now to even if it's my spouse kind of a thing, it feels scary because I've never let someone into the scary parts of my heart. That's an unknown territory. It can feel in the same way scary to let somebody, you know, to enter into the space. And in recovery, we're going into these small groups, we're talking, we're sharing our hearts, we're listening to other people, and this is unknown territory. So of course we experience fear. What we don't want, and by the way, that's a God-given thing there. Of course the scriptures say, do not fear. We don't want to be a slave to that. But how can I honor the good reasons why fear is there, and how does it keep me alive? If I don't have a little bit of fear and anxiety stepping into the unknown, I'm probably not taking it serious. So unknown, the fear of the unknown can be one of those things. And so trying to break that down, what is the fear? And I love to do this with fear. Okay, what is my greatest fear? If I step in this space that I've never been in before, what's my biggest fear? My life's going to get worse, you know, and whatever it is, and play it out. And if my life gets worse, then go to the next level. My fear is blank. And if that happens, if it gets worse, you know, maybe no one will be around me. And if no one's around me, my biggest fear is. So play it out. And as you kind of dive into that, the different layers of that fear, you'll start to see, one, that it's not as big as you thought. And it gives you specific prayer points. Lord, help me with my fear that says my life is going to get worse. Help me to believe that that's not true, that you're going to be with me in it, and that though some people might not be in my life because they can't handle the new me or whatever, that's a whole different conversation, that you're going to put new people, healthy people in my life. that love and care for me. So it gives you prayer points, but it's really good to kind of take this catastrophic thing, mountain that's in front of you, to realize that the unknown's not as scary as it seems. And maybe I just take one step. Maybe I go to my first meeting and I don't share. I just sit and listen. It's like, I'm too scared, this unknown space, I'm not going to share. So I do that a couple times, maybe a few times. I've heard some come for months in that open share scenario. And then as God gives me courage in this new familiar territory that used to be unknown, then maybe I take a risk. I'm going to share no more than 5 words or 10 words, or, you know, put some parameters around it to kind of step into that. So fear of the unknown, it makes sense. How can I honor the fear, but also not let it control me, because it's keeping me, you know, freedom is becoming who Christ has called me to be. And if fear is keeping me from becoming who Christ has called me to be in this thing, that fill in the blank, whatever your thing is keeping you from that, I don't want that to keep me from becoming who Christ has called me to be. That I want to walk in freedom. I think the second thing, as I was chewing on this, is the familiar. Familiarity. I get comfortable with the familiarity or the familiar things around me. It's fascinating. I've shared this before, but I think it's so appropriate. When you think of the there's a movie where a guy's stuck on an island and he's been living on this island for 4 years by himself after a plane crash, right? You probably know the movie I'm talking about. And he finally, after many attempts, was able to build a raft. And he, you know, the biggest problem was getting over those big waves. And they kept crashing him back into the beach. And he finally built a raft that would get him over the wave. And so the wave, ginormous wave, he gets over the wave and he's into settled water. And he's getting further away from this island that he's been living on. And he looks back at the island. And you can just see these moments of grief. It's like, wait a minute, dude. That place was miserable. In fact, in the movie, he even tried to take his life. That's not a good place to live. And yet, because it was familiar, sometimes the familiar, even if it's miserable, becomes better than what we can't see over the next wave. So are there some things that you've become comfortable with and familiar with, although miserable with, that are keeping you from going over that next wave in your life? Those can be some things that can keep us stuck on that island and in a bad space. I think an additional one would be uncertainty about outcomes. Now, in recovery, we're real careful to say, remind folks that coming into this process does not guarantee that our circumstances are going to change. And that can be a little bit discouraging, right? What we do know, though, when we step into this space is Jesus will meet us in it, and he puts people in our life. I can't imagine some of the, I don't have time to go into some of the big things that even just this year, in the first 4 months of 2024, that me and my family have gone through. I can't imagine going through that without the people in my life. The circumstances are still hard in life because we live in a broken world, but it doesn't mean that everything gets put back together perfectly, but what it does know and helps us understand is that God is going to shepherd us and heal us in unique and beautiful ways, and shepherd us in unique healing ways specific to our heart and our life. And though the outcomes may not be exactly what we want, we can bring those longings and hopes to him. And we don't have to cut that off. The thing is, we don't know what he's going to fulfill. We just know he's going to be with us in it. And knowing he's with us in it gives us strength. And so sometimes an uncertainty on the outcome can be the thing. Well, if I don't know for certain how things are going to, what the outcome is going to be, I'm just not going to do it at all. And, you know, that can be understandable, because we want in our minds, we think with our minds. I want to do this knowing exactly what the outcome is going to be. And if I can't be 100% certain that outcome, I'm not doing it at all. And what we end up doing is robbing ourselves of some incredible benefits through the process as we invite Jesus and others into that. Hey, I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue this conversation. Stick with me. I'll be right back. Hey, friends, if you're looking for a meeting, please don't try to do this on your own. Fellowshipcr.org will give you a list of all the Northwest Arkansas meetings. We have some great groups here in the area. Fellowship Fayetteville, Fellowship Rogers at our church has a campus meeting, meets at the exact same time every Friday night, 6 p.m. Connection Cafe meal, and 7 p.m. our general meeting starts. We'd love to have you come join us and be a part of this road to recovery we call Celebrate Recovery. Go to fellowshipcr.org for more information. Welcome back. Right before the break, just tying up that bow on the uncertainty of outcomes. And again, you're going to hear me say this a lot. How could I validate that? Of course, you want this to go this way, and you want certainty in that. But one of the first things we learn in recovery is that there is a God, and we're not it, and we can't manufacture our healing in this process. It's a gift from God, and though we have uncertainty in the outcomes, one thing that is certain is we won't be alone in it, and He will strengthen us. God will strengthen you through the process, no matter what space you're walking through in this season. But being aware of the uncertainty about the outcomes can be something that can keep me from moving forward. And we just have to be aware of that, because it's keeping us from becoming who Christ has called us to be. What are some things we can be certain about? I'm going to meet new people. I'm going to have a safe space to talk about my hurts and struggles in life. I can be certain that God is going to give me hope in the midst of the uncertainty and the chaos and the storms, that I'm never going to be alone. Though I may feel lonely right now, I can make a choice to invite other people and God into that. So maybe focus on what are the things can I be certain in this, that I won't have to drown out my sorrows with this thing, this escape coping mechanism, whatever that is. I think another thing that keeps us in avoidant posture is, it kind of ties in with the comfort with the familiar, but it's a reluctance to leave our comfort zone. You know, I don't know if you can recall some of your most significant growth seasons in your life. Maybe take a second. If you have to pause this, give it some thought. What's something that has caused the most growth in your life? Those seasons you think, man, that's where I did a lot of growing. I would bet, which I'm not a betting man, but I bet a lot on the fact that there's probably some struggle and some pain and resistance in that season. And a brother of mine was just talking about this. So he started going back to the gym, and he's like, man, my muscles for a couple days were just screaming at me. And in my mind, I'm like, why did I go back to the gym? And it makes sense. Like, well, yeah, that was painful. You know, you were kind of comfortable. But what's happening at that gym is there's actually a tearing of the muscle. And spiritually, that applies the same. There's a tearing of the old, which forces us out of our comfort zone. And in that comfort zone, though it feels right, it kind of ties with that comfort with the familiar. But that comfort zone can kind of be a little bit misleading, because if we're being honest, it feels good just to kind of lay around and eat junk food. The effects of that, though, are not good. It's kind of the difference between acute pain and chronic pain. Acute pain is in that space of the gym. You're tearing the muscles, you're growing, and it grows them back together, and they get stronger and bigger, and it helps you to be stronger, to be able to take steps with more strength, et cetera, et cetera. So, But if I don't do the acute pain, then I develop chronic pain. Another way of saying that is living in misery. And so that reluctance to leave our comfort zone keeps us in our misery, and we have chronic pain and chronic misery. You know, in this world, we have suffering. I think it was Peterson that said, if you know, we're going to have suffering, but if you want to have less suffering, confront it. If you want to grow your suffering, we can actually have the ability to add to our suffering, believe it or not. Avoid it. And so this reluctance to leave our comfort zone is saying, I'm going to avoid this at all costs. And so we have this reluctance to leave our comfort zone. So beware of the difference between the chronic pain that you're living in that feels comfortable right now, but will lead to chronic pain. And what's the acute pain that I can walk through that will ultimately lead to strength? And in this season, God's going to do the most growing that you probably have ever gone through in your life. And so being aware of the reluctance to leave their comfort zone or your comfort zone, it's important to be aware of that might keep you from taking that step to live out God's calling for your life. And the last one is around concerns about potential risks or losses that are associated with the change that we're stepping into. So risks. What are the costs? What are the risks? What are the losses that I could incur in this space? Now, it sounds interesting to say that out loud, but here's kind of a scenario with that. We go into these relationships, this new community, and if we're walking into a new community, oftentimes we're walking away from an old dysfunctional community. Maybe it's the community that we always went drinking with or partied with or, you know, did inappropriate things with or whatever that is. And sometimes it's not even changing the relationship, it's changing the way the relationship is. That we don't know how to function in this relationship if we're not doing that. We have a poor definition of God's design for this because we've been, you know, carrying out the enemy's definition of this, and whatever your this and that is, you know what I'm talking about. But with relationships, we're walking away from things in which we have to guard our people, places, and things. It's like, what are those things that, like, well, am I going to have any friends? What if I don't have anybody that wants to hang out with me because I'm just kind of this weird spiritual person now? And, you know, we buy into those lies that, well, you can't have fun when you're in recovery. You can't have fun as a believer who walks with Christ. And all those are lies that the enemy throws at us in that space. But we're trying to understand that, okay, again, can I honor that it feels risky? Because the fear is those people love me. No one will love the real me, because with those other people, I was masking and coping and putting up these facades. No one's going to love me. By the way, that's shame in that. So it feels risky. It feels like there's going to be a high cost in this space. And so that makes sense. But here's what I want to tell you. Is the enemy will try to keep you in that hiding, covering up. That's the enemy's strategy, hiding and covering up. Jesus is about bringing things into the light. And here's the only thing I can say. When we bring things into the light, it allows them to grow. It allows new nutrients, new, you know, sunlight to come into that space where it can be given life to grow and be nurtured with healthy rain and sunshine and all those things in that space. When we enter into the recovery space, is we're allowing new things to grow. I used this example before, but if you got on, think of the highway locally there for you. Here it's I-49. There's a intersection from one exit to the next. If they block those two exits off and nobody could drive on that little stretch of road, what do you think would happen? Well, in that concrete, eventually grass, weeds, sometimes trees. New stuff would come through that concrete because nothing is driving on it. Anytime there's something driving on the pavement, it kills anything that's going to come through because there's constant activity on it. Here's the cool thing to think about is we may not be taking that road anymore. And when we take a different exit, a different path, it allows new things to grow. And that's exactly what God is wanting to do in your life. That it feels concerning. There's risks here. There's losses that are associated with the changes I'm making in my life, right? What will I do with my weekends now? What kind of movies will I watch now? What kind of friendships will I have? Will I enjoy life anymore? And here's what I found. I love going to restaurants with people in recovery. We have so much fun and we laugh. I had some folks over at my house on my team a couple nights ago, and we laughed. In fact, so much so, I wondered if the neighbors thought, man, they're boozing it up over there. We were completely sober. We were just being silly and having fun and laughing and just enjoying each other's company. It was so fun. We're goofy and silly, but we found new ways to enjoy life that we don't need those old ways anymore. And those risks and losses associated with the changes that are coming in your life, you'll grieve through those. And it is a grief process. It sounds weird to grieve some of those unhealthy relationships. We have to grieve those. That's part of the process. But as we grieve it and allow those things to die and be grieved, God creates new space for something new and healthy to grow in our life. And it's beautiful. And it's much better than you can ever dream or imagine. That's what God wants to do in your life. But yeah, so those are a few things I just wanted to share with you. The fear of the unknown, that comfort with the familiar, uncertainty about the outcomes, and a reluctance to leave my comfort zone, and then just thinking about concerns for the risks and the losses associated with the change. Those are things that can be kind of the roots behind my wanting to avoid the change, even though things are falling apart and I'm in a place of wreckage. Beware of those things that can be reasons. Lean into it, organize it, and then just take a step. Make small goals to combat those reasons with new, different experiences, and God will bless you in that. And don't try to do it alone. That's a key thing in this whole process. We have this understanding sometimes that we're going to walk in and we're going to be the only one struggling and everyone's going to leave us alone. Now, everyone's going to give you your space, but you're far from alone. People are going to walk with you if you allow them into it, that you'll never be alone in the process. And of course, our higher power, Jesus Christ, is the true center of everything. He's the hero in our story that we celebrate as we cheer each other on in this road to recovery we call Celebrate Recovery. Well, I hope this is helpful for you. That darn enemy gives us lots of fear and anxiety that keeps us from moving forward. And if we can organize that and invite Jesus into that and just take one small step, don't think about the end goal. Just for today, what am I going to do to lean into those fears, that those reasons that are keeping me from living out who God has called me to be? Jesus died for us to become so that we can walk in that newness of life and freedom and healing and the fullness of hope and joy. Hey, I hope that you will take us up on that offer to just come check us out at Celebrate Recovery and join us on this road. All you got to do is show up. You don't have to do anything else. Just bring yourself, and you don't have to share anything. Just be present and check it out and see what God does that. You won't regret it, I promise. Hey, thank you so much for being with us today, and I pray that you'll join us next time. Until then, God bless.